Okay, you're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show. We're going into the second hour of the programme, and as I've been flagging all morning, it is the third and final general election debate ahead of voting on Friday. There are 20 candidates and there are 5 seats, and it's going to be very hotly contested, and the polls are indicating such, but it's still very much up for grabs. Anyone out there can change their mind and choose to vote another way, or those that don't vote might be motivated to vote, and certainly make no bones about it, you can have an influence on the outcome of this election. So maybe the next couple of hours might help formulate your decisions. So we'll go around the table and introduce you to our panellists today. We'll start to my right and say good morning to Claudia Kennedy of Fianna Fáil. Claudia, tell us a little bit about yourself, or use your minute or whatever way you want to for yourself.
Good morning, Greg, and thank you for facilitating this morning. My name is Claudia Kennedy. I'm living and teaching in Finn Valley College in Stranraer. I understand the challenges families face today in Donegal, and so for me, I will be focusing on the cost of living crisis, accessing medical services, childcare costs, and supporting our carers. I'm committed to working on your behalf to address and resolve these issues at a national level. And I also aim to bring a strong female perspective and voice to the decision-making table. And I'm determined to advocate for the vulnerable in our society, including the elderly, our youth, and those with disabilities. And I look forward to continuing my campaign and meeting people, and to thank people for the very warm, positive response I've got while campaigning.
Great stuff. Thanks, Claudia. And to your right, Nuala Carr of the Green Party. Hey, Nuala, great to see you again.
Hi, Greg. Thanks for having me here today. So as your Green Party candidate, I represent a vital alternative for those seeking meaningful change in the political landscape. I'll be working towards immediate social needs, long-term environmental sustainability. The Green Party are committed to creating an economy that works for everyone, with policies supporting living wages, affordable housing, and comprehensive healthcare. And the Green Party addresses the urgent climate crisis head-on, proposing concrete solutions while creating new job opportunities through the new Green Deal. The Green Party have introduced energy efficiency grants, which need to be, added to and supported for those with low income. They're proposing to hold a citizens' assembly to discuss the introduction of a 4-day working week. We've enhanced public transport, and we've much more to do in that area. We're working towards strengthening the healthcare system through actionable solutions, and we're working towards the pressing issues like climate change, social inequality, and environmental instability.
Okay, Nuala, thank you very much indeed. Eamon McGee is running for the Irish Freedom Party. Eamon, good morning.
Well, good morning, Greg. Good morning, listeners. I am Eamon McGee. I will be the Irish Freedom Party candidate for County Donegal. I'm a father of two and also a defective homeowner. Our children need a future where they can afford to buy a house, not need to feel the need to immigrate. We are facing one of the worst housing crises ever, and proper solutions desperately need to be found. We need to dramatically reduce immigration to lower demand for houses. I want a safe and protective future for all our children. We need to stop answering to the EU's political union. This is our country, and Irish people are good enough to decide their own laws. We need to stop the wasteful government spending and mismanagement of taxpayers' money. We need to make sure Ireland's national resources and taxes are for the benefit of the Irish people. We believe in lowering taxes for Irish workers to reward work and enterprise. We want to cut the carbon taxes because it's unnecessary and unjust. We wish to increase income from farmers and fishermen and make the Irish nation free to prosper. This country is changing fast, and we need people to stand up for what is right, and especially speak up for the most vulnerable in our society, including our children.
Okay, Noel Jordan is one of three Sinn Féin candidates. Noel, thanks so much for coming up to us. Tell us a bit about yourself, why people might vote for you.
Yeah, good morning, Greg, and good morning to your listeners. I'm Noel Jordan, and I've been a councillor representing the Donegal Municipal District for the last 10 years. Of a proven track record, and I'm standing as a candidate for Sinn Féin in the general election. I want to see a fairer and a more just Ireland, an Ireland where young people are not forced to emigrate because they can't afford to own a home, an Ireland where people don't languish on waiting lists, on hospital trolleys where Donegal is forgotten about in terms of infrastructure and healthcare.
Thomas Pringle's the only sitting TD around this table. Thomas, good morning to you.
Morning, Greg. How's it going?
Good to have you with us.
Thank you, and it's good to be here. Greg, I've been a consistent, independent voice for Donegal people in the Dáil since 2011. The needs of Donegal has always been at the heart of what I do as an independent voice. I don't speak on behalf of a party. I speak on behalf of the people of Donegal, and I have a track record of this. I have made, through my work, over 61,000 representations for my constituents. I have spoken more often in Dáil debates than any other TD from this constituency, and I have mentioned Donegal more times than all other Donegal TDs combined as well. I have spoken on fishing over 40 times and rural issues 104 times. I am a strong advocate on disability rights and a consistent leader on defective blocks as well. I have been raising the issues that impact us in Donegal on the floor of the Dáil over the last 13 years, and I want to continue to do this to ensure that Donegal will not be left behind by Dublin in the future as we have been in the past. I am committed to continuing to work on my work as your independent TD and to push for the systemic change that we desperately need in Donegal and countrywide. That's why I'm asking for your number one vote this Friday.
Thanks, Thomas. And lastly, just by the way we went round the table, Kim McMenamin, the Irish People's Party National Alliance.
Hi, Greg. My name is Kim McMenamin. I'm from Buncrana. I'm a father, a grandfather, a husband, a martial arts instructor, an acupuncturist, and a very successful activist. I organised the people of Buncrana, and we successfully stopped 66 single men of military age getting into a building beside our school children. Okay, so that was something. Just tells you that people power does work, and I keep saying, don't moan them out. We've got to vote them out. Now, the people of Donegal, you have a constitutional right to live in a safe community and to safeguard our own traditions and culture. Women, children, men have the right to live in a safe and secure environment. These rights are provided for in the UN Declaration on Human Rights and further established in EU treaties. These are our basic fundamental rights. Whether written in law or not, these are God-given rights. There's no guarantee now that any town or village will be able to remain a safe place for our children or young women to live in when unvetted single men arrive, like what's happening currently in Athlone. They're trying to put 1,000 men into a field and put them in tents. These migrants are being abused also solely for profit. They're left without proper provision or even a sustainable approach to their integration. Many do not want to integrate at all. So above all, as sovereign Irish people, we want to promote the common good, but we cannot do this to our own detriment. So being asked to sacrifice our own personal security and safety for the common good of others, this is not how charity works. Charity has to begin at home. Mm-hmm. We have a housing crisis. Our schools are at full capacity. Medical services are not fit for purpose. We are a peaceful community. We observe justice and charity, but we cannot let charity impede upon our own right to live in a safe and secure environment. A vote for me is a voice for you. Just help me, people. Vote the old brigade out. They've
okay,
had
Kim,
the chance.
I'll stay with
and
you.
Vote me in, please. Yeah,
I'll
me
stay
turn
with
this country
you.
Around. Thank you.
Yeah, you talk about, you know, problems in housing, healthcare, crime, school places, and you seem to attribute all of that to immigration. You know, which makes up around about, you know, what is it, 68,000 immigrants have come into the country so far this year seeking protection and under other banners that aren't, for instance, international protection. That's the total, right, isn't it? So, like, are you saying all of the problems that we're experiencing at the moment are as a result of immigration?
Well, if it's down to money, there's 5 million per day being spent in IPAS. That's 2 billion per year, almost. So that money could be redirected towards housing. We would not have a housing crisis if all this money did not go there.
Yeah, but that's like presuming that's it would be spent on housing. Like there is money in the coffers, and all parties and none have budgeted for housing. So that 2 billion that you talk of, the figure that you use there, it's not like that all of a sudden goes in and fixes the housing problem, because all of the main parties have made their own allocations to housing. So, you know, it's not that houses aren't being built because that 2 billion's been spent, Kim, is the point I'm trying to make.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of shenanigans around the housing problem, and everybody has their own view on it, and everybody has their own figures. And it looks to me like the sitting politicians and people who are from the tri-party of Sinn Féin, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, they've had their chance to fix a housing problem. They did nothing. Like, they they have a cheek to actually say and tell people what they're going to do. Empty promises again. Like, we should not have a housing crisis. We should not have an immigration problem. If Helen McEntee, was fit for purpose, we would not be in this mess with
Thomas
open
Pringle,
borders.
Yeah, Thomas Pringle, do you... I mean, obviously, you're not here to speak on behalf of the government. I'm sure there are many aspects of immigration and the handling of it that you would take issue with. But first, to Kim McMenamin's point, do you believe that much of the problems Irish society is facing at the moment is because of military-aged, unvetted men coming into the country?
To be honest, Greg, it's not an issue that's coming up on the doors throughout Donegal. People are more concerned about issues such as housing, childcare, cost of living, and we have to make sure that we're giving those a sufficient time to these extremely important issues. What I'm hearing on the doors are issues regarding housing, fishing, farming, teacher shortages, mental health services and disability services, not about immigration.
In Ireland, most of us believe that
matter what we look like or where we come from, we all deserve a place to live, care when we're sick and a community where we belong. And I think there's a lot of misdirected frustration, and that's understandable. And I've been highlighting the pressures on GP services in schools for years and years, and that predates any immigration or anything that got there into this country. And that's a failure of Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael in government, and that's what has led to the problems that we are experiencing right across the board in our communities.
Claudia Kennedy, as a Fianna Fáil representative, how big of an issue is immigration on the doorsteps?
I would have to agree with Thomas. The key issues that I have found on the doors has been housing, health, education, disability care, special needs education. From a government point of view, we need a fair and firm asylum process. As you know, we have signed up to the EU Pact on Migration because this is an EU problem. We're one country and we need that pact in place, particularly about moving asylum seekers with secondary movements to this country. Now, in terms of what we have done in government is we've actually increased the number of safe countries of origin since November 2022, and we have seen numbers from those countries
increase by
68%.
Is that the right thing to do, though? Because, I mean, there are countries on that safe list that the general consensus is that they aren't safe at all, and that really was just something to, you know, try and reduce numbers and maybe a populist move. I mean, if you were genuinely interested in helping people coming from desperate situations, you wouldn't stick a country like Nigeria. I believe that's one that's open to debate as to whether it's actually safe or not.
Well, if you take a country like Georgia, it's a safe country. We had a lot of economic migrants coming here from Georgia. And in terms of what we have done, this is really important to say, we have increased 3,000 doorstop operations carried out to date this year on flights that pose a risk of irregular migration. We also have put Gardaí on the border as immigration officers. We want to increase those numbers. We've also increased the fees and on our airlines up to €5,000 per passenger for those that are arriving into the country without a passport. We're looking at to increasing that to €10,000 for our airlines. And the big one that we need to talk about is about accommodation for IPAS refugees, that as a government we want to have 6 reception centres, that they're not going into our hotels, community centres, and taking those vital services.
Would you be in favour of putting 1,000 people who are fleeing a dire situation, we're told, into a tented temporary accommodation village in Athlone? For an example, is there anywhere in Donegal that you believe could accommodate that one of those centres, like the one that's going into Athlone? You know what I mean? We can't sort of say this is what we should be doing, this is the right thing to do, if we don't answer honestly and to the question of would you be okay with one of these going into Donegal, for an example?
So capacity is the key issue here, Greg, and you've really talked about it there very succinctly. Putting 1,000 people into a field in Athlone is not feasible. It's not realistic.
That's your party's policy. That's what they're doing.
But let's just take a step back. Okay. We need to look at our borders. We need to look at numbers that are coming in. We need to look at capacity. This country, when the war in Ukraine happened, we welcomed 80,000 people from that war here. So Ireland is a very welcoming country. We have a history of Irish people going to other countries worldwide and living. So our history and our DNA and our identity as people is there. But we need to talk about capacity. And we are looking at building reception centres. We are looking at state-owned accommodation.
But would you be okay with one of those reception centres being in Donegal?
If it was a purpose-built building and if it's a state-owned building, that would work. That it's okay. Not going into our hotels, it's
I'll
not going into our
B&Bs,
it's state-owned accommodation.
Okay, briefly, Kim, because there's three others that haven't spoken
well,
yet.
Well, she's talking there, you know, about what they're going to do, but they had their chance. They did nothing on the immigration front. Now, 85% of deportees in the last 5 years did not have their orders actioned. That's Helen McEntee, right? So that was the government. Fianna Fáil is part of that tri-party government.
The government is saying now that they are to blame for the massive migration. Great progress in that regard. Some of the measures that Claudia referenced and speeding up the process, more resources to get people who aren't entitled to be here back out of here.
How can that happen if you have to self-deport? If you get a paper saying, you know, you got to leave the country, how many people are going to do it? This is the problem. We don't have proper deportation laws. Now, we do probably have them, but everything, like the planning laws, everything is being flaunted at the moment. Now, this man here, Thomas Pringle, the doors I'm knocking on in his own, they're talking about, women are talking about their personal safety, and they can't go around rivers and they can't go out cycling. They feel insecure because Thomas Pringle supports mass immigration. This lady over here supports mass immigration. So they don't care who they put in in a field and a tent beside you.
Okay,
it is
Kim,
wrong.
I'll
it
come
is
back
immoral.
To you. Noel Jordan, obviously this was an issue that came up, as you would imagine, in the leaders' debate last night. And there was a particular national conversation had in relation to this. People might be a little bit unsure what Sinn Féin actually is opposed to, what they're in favour of, what their plan might be.
Well, I feel that this, the whole thing has been mismanaged by this government. I feel that. There is anger out there. There's huge anger out there and how people were communicated with in certain places. And we believe that, and we said if we lead the next government, we will establish an immigration management agency where we will deal with where we will put that the sufficient staff into and deal with turnaround times quicker, processing documents. And I always say, and I've said this from the word go, if people were communicated with in their own areas, we don't believe that that people should
be
put
done
into...
Away, that was done away with because, and I think it was actually really Melville that was one of the places that started this. The bottom line was is... and I think it might have been Roderick Regorman or someone that referenced this at that time. If you start negotiating with locals, that you're never going to get an agreement because every nook and cranny of this country is an argument that their GP is at capacity, the local hospital is at capacity, the local schools are at capacity, there's not enough SNAs. So theoretically, if you were to engage with any local community in the country, effectively, you would never get anyone housed anywhere.
But, Greg, common sense shows you if you haven't got the infrastructure and the amenities, the services there, you can't put people in there. And people that have integrated in the areas of Donegal, there's people were put to other areas that weren't happy to be there because there were no services there. And look at bad communication. I put that lot of down to bad communication. And I said we would deal with it differently if we lead the next government.
Okay. Nuala Carr, the Green Party, you know, a lot of this falls on the lap of your party leader, Roderick O'Gorman. People will probably, I'm surprised it hasn't been referenced already, the video that he made in multiple languages promising, you know, everyone a front door, effectively, if they came to Ireland. The motivation of that's been disputed by other people, don't get me wrong, but a lot of the poor handling, if you see it as poor, of this whole situation since the get-go, is a lot of it attributed to Roderick O'Gorman. Do you think that's fair?
Well, I don't think that's fair, no. I mean, I think Ireland has an obligation to welcome people who are in need of protection.
Do you mean a moral obligation? I'll look after that one. Do you mean a moral obligation or a legal obligation?
I think both moral and legal. I think we can't turn our backs on people who are fleeing countries when they're not safe. I mean, I think Ireland, we have plenty of room in Ireland to house people. I mean, our housing problem and our services, GP, healthcare, were under pressure before any of this, after the last economic crash.
But some would say, Nuala, that if we had a housing problem, if it had a problem in the health service and other areas of society, okay, that what you do is, and if to be fair to people that are of the country and those moving here, you start to fix that and make mm-hmm. inroads in that before you start adding greater pressure upon it. Yeah.
Yeah, we do, but we need to address those issues first and foremost. But we can't go blaming innocent people who need protection and need somewhere safe to live. And we can't be inducing fear among communities where, you know, that's going to create division and it's not going to ease any of the problems that need to be fixed.
Eamon McGee of the Irish Freedom Party, immigration top of your list as well.
Yes. Well, first of all...
Above a lot of stuff.
Well, first of all, Ireland never had a housing crisis. The Irish government have already proven by giving homes to our new Irish. So our people have been let down by our government.
Are they not being housed in hotels and rental accommodation?
I'm living in Ardtomare. There's 32 houses in Ardtomare. It's an I-Pass centre. They're living there. I want to tease out that conversation.
So are you saying that's property
town,
that should be...
Where somebody walked into this country four weeks ago, Greg, and they were given a brand new house by social housing. And this is what happened. Now, not only that, when we look back, Greg, all these people are coming from safe countries. Is Brazil a safe country? Is Brazil a safe country? Is UK a safe country? 78% of these people are coming into our borders with no ID. But all of a sudden, we have an international obligation to house these people. For start, they're breaking international law. They've lied to us. We have a law in our country to deport these people immediately, or 3,000 fine, or 12 months in prison, or both. But why is our government putting these people up? Why are we doing this? They're breaking the law.
Do you believe there should be any level of immigration to this country?
We need it. We definitely need it.
So which,
we need builders, we need nurses and doctors, we need many services. But look, we have our own people scattered in the four corners of the world. Surely we can bring them home first. They've been crying out all over the world to come home. Now, the only way we can sort this out for our own people, we need start deporting people immediately because they're under here under false pretenses. Now, we haven't got the houses for our own people, never mind the rest of the world.
So are you saying, right, just to be clear here, there is a system where people can come here and as soon as they're on Irish soil, with or without documentation, as far as I'm aware, they can claim asylum here. And then there is a process whereby they're evaluated and a decision is made and then an order is made whether they can stay or they can leave. You want to rip that up. And as soon as they come here, what's the criteria for sending them straight home?
I believe in using
home?
The laws of our country, first of all.
But what's the criteria? Is it no papers or...?
Look, listen, we have to... We all know there's problems here. We're bringing, as you're saying, 36,000 people in here into our country, legally. Now, they're allowed to bring their families on top of that. They'll bring their parents. Well, they'll sponge out the social welfare. They'll bring in their grandparents. Mm-hmm. Will also take money from our pension funds. They'll also will need to be housed.
Who are you talking about? Are you talking about people that come here and work permits?
Even people legal.
So would you have them in?
You know what I mean? Even illegal people. Now, there'll be more people coming in. There's going to be less houses. House prices are going up. Personally, myself, I personally believe that anybody that's coming in legally...
Do you have any family working abroad or living abroad?
I did work abroad myself. I know how it works.
So now,
people coming into our country
can I just
legally...
Just say one thing?
To reduce the house and give our children a better opportunity.
I just want to tease some stuff out so people understand exactly what you stand for, right? You are a former immigrant, okay? So you went over to a different country. You worked over there. You lived in a house, I presume. Ate in the restaurants, drank in the local pubs, what have you. I hope you didn't come up. You weren't given much abuse over there, were you?
Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying. But my point is that you don't want to afford other people coming here legally the same life experience that you had? Is it because you're...
First and foremost, whenever I went, I got nothing for nothing. I got no freebies.
Yeah, but were you...
I got no freebies,
No, but
Greg.
You said about people coming here legally. And they're coming here to work.
I went there legal.
Yeah.
I got nothing for free. If you want to come on into Ireland, you should able to support your own family, your own children, and it shouldn't be a burden on our state.
Thomas Pringle, we'll move on from this in a moment, but I mean, there's a couple of people here literally standing on this platform. I note from the side of my eye, you're shaking your head an awful lot. Is it because you don't like this rhetoric, this language? You disagree with it? You don't think it's accurate?
Well, it's not true, Greg. And that's the reality of the situation. No, anybody that comes to Ireland and claims asylum, they are legal from that point on, and the process has to be dealt with. And the reason why people don't work when they come here is because they're not allowed to work. The state doesn't allow them to work. You can work in Ireland when you're a resident for over six months, but you can only apply to work after 6 months, and it takes another 6 months for the state to actually get around to saying whether you can work or not. So people will be here for a year before they're actually allowed to work, and all the immigrants that I know want to work and they want to contribute to society, but they're not allowed to work by the state, and that's the facts of the matter. And the other fact of the matter is that nobody gets a house who hasn't got fully legally entitled to be here and to be resident here.
So you're disputing the claim that someone, what was it, came into the country and got a brand new house straight away?
100%.
Where did you get that information from? Don't need a name.
Well, I can't name the person, but it's very close to Thomas.
Is it official or...?
It's very close to Thomas.
Right, Kim, you
can I say another thing as well? Just 1 second, I want to say, Greg.
I mean, I'm chairing this, with all due respect to you, okay? I'll come back to you in a second. Kim, is it possible when you talk about the fear that's in communities, okay, the fear that a woman can get, sexually assaulted or what have you, we speak to the Gardaí, because, I want to be fair in this and know when I'm talking about facts or not facts, and the guards say there's been absolutely no peak in crime in any of the areas where these people are housed. They've not, there's no issue there. Is it possible that it's the likes of yourself, as well-intended as it might be, is it not possible that your project fear is actually what's scaring people rather than the reality? Because the statistics don't back up. But you're going around to people's houses saying 66 men are coming here, military age, single. They're going to be bored. They're going to be at your kids. They're going to be at your women. Is it not possible that it's actually you that is the architect of this fear and not necessarily the public themselves?
Yeah, good point, but it's untrue. Like if 66 single men from Cork were stuffed into a bus and taken to a building in Buncrana beside our school children, I would be worried, and mothers would be worried about that. So let's get rid of the colour of skin.
This but do you is think not men about, are that dangerous,
this is
though,
not
Kim?
About who these people are. It's about just stuffing. Men need to work. They need to be out there doing things, not stuffed into a building purely for profit. There's millionaires have been created from this, as you well know, and everybody knows. And look, women on the ground, do you think they're going to listen to me? They feel it. They see it. Look, we have the media now. We own the media, okay? So the mainstream media, if you like, is online now. People can research, and they're not blind, and they're not stupid. They know what's happening, and the reports are out there. Sexual assaults are way, way up, and way, way up in Sweden. It's on. Yeah,
Sweden,
it's on real. Yeah. Imagine bringing a thousand men into a field. What are they going to do?
Okay, I just want to really focus on facts, because there's like-minded people in Sweden that are blaming migrants for that, and statistics I've seen.
No, they racially profile there, so they know what section of the community the crime's coming from.
Greg, the way Kim's talking about men, I think we better get some women voted into the Dáil, because there's obviously no trust
that's scary.
In men.
I would hope that most people say that.
Do you think people coming in legally on work permits after 3 years should lead to citizenship? Do you believe people coming in, 78% of people...
I
totally disagree. They shouldn't be given citizenship.
So, what would you do with the 40-odd percent of what would you do with the 40-odd percent of people working in the health service? And don't say bring the nurses back from Australia, because that wouldn't match the need. So, say they're listening to us today describing, you want them to go home. I mean, what if you, God forbid, you fall over and crack your head walking out of this door? Are you going to get on and say, you're white
Greg,
and Irish...
I've already been through the process in the hospitals, and all our foreign doctors are doing a great job.
But you want them to go home?
Yes. Listen, this is a simple solution for our own people wants to go home. How can we... We need to provide for our own people
first. Kim,
do
you want them to go home?
To come back, and we can incentivize them.
Let me finish here, Kim.
Go ahead.
Here's another thing as well. do you believe that people coming in here, 78% of the people, are given a free PPS number, and they, after 3 years they're a citizen, they're allowed to bring all their families over? Is this right on the taxpayers? No, it's not.
Yeah, okay,
we need to have a nation for our Irish children first and foremost. Okay. We don't want our children to take the four corners of the world.
Come in here, please. Yeah. Again, I just this trying to scare people.
It's
with
not
what
scaring
could
nobody.
Happen.
People,
not
people want it. People want the people.
But you're saying 78 people are coming in here and they're going to bring their grannies, their granddads, their aunts, their uncles.
Correct. They are doing it.
Okay. I'd love to
but
see the
Thomas
statistics
Pringle
on
here
that.
Just said that they're coming in, you know, legally, and they're not. They tear up their documents on the plane.
Yeah, but what he says is once you
asylum,
whether you like it or not, the problem is the problem is once you touch Irish soil and claim asylum,
should have documentation.
Hold on, they're travelling all over Europe. They're coming from outside the EU. They can't travel on a plane without documentation.
It's a very interesting question.
Into Ireland.
It's a very interesting
they have
question.
No IDs.
They're flushing them in the toilet, some of them. Claudia.
Just to bring some context to the conversation and facts, I wonder, have you two actually done any research and facts and data? Currently, there has been over 2,250 operations to check for passports on the steps of aeroplanes. They're now being carried out so far.
Well, Herman Kelly's been travelling.
If I could finish.
Just one moment, please.
Thank you. We've had 100 people who have been prosecuted legally for coming in without a document. We've had over 3,000 doorstep operations to date on flights for irregular migration. Now, just to put this into context for our government, we want to expedite the deportation of any applicant who is convicted of a serious crime within this jurisdiction during their application period. We will double the number of Gardaí trained immigration officers who are currently working as immigration officers today as we speak on our border. We will also deem any ineligible applicant who has already been refused an asylum in another EU member state. This is working. Excuse me, we are part of the EU Migration
it's not
Pact.
Happening. No.
This is really, really important.
Which you signed in without the consent of the people.
Okay.
You
signed
will
us
do
up without the consent of the people.
Just one moment.
That should
here.
Have been a
just
referendum on that.
One moment. You see, this is the way democracy works. You see, if either you or Kim or anyone around this table have voted into government, right? You're given a mandate. You're given a mandate. I know that. You're given a mandate to vote in legislation. Maybe you want to change
people
that.
Will see. They will see what's coming in the next 5 years.
Herman Kelly lives and works in Brussels. Do you think he should
and
come
he
home?
Has never been checked for passports with any staff.
But do you think
staff?
He should come home?
Do I think? Yeah, that's
Herman
his
Kelly
choice.
Come home. Well, you want to send people home, in inverted commas?
And bring your own people back.
So yes. Herman should come back.
Bring your own people back.
100%.
Working on it.
I don't want to see my children being kicked out of Ireland to the four corners of the world and not have a nation to come back home to.
All right. Anyone else want word on this?
Foreign cheap labour is not wanted. We don't need that. We need to bring our own people back.
Well, that's what a lot of
we
people in Australia
them,
are doing. They're working
over
there.
We spend money on them, incentivise them to come back. That would be a great idea.
I don't want to see my children over a screen, over Skype. I never even
but
see them.
But your parents saw you over a telephone?
No, we never had anything like that in my day,
you
Greg.
Just left. All right,
we didn't even have a telephone.
This lady over here is saying
Claudia
what they will do. They have done nothing. That's why we're in the state we're in. Her party has done nothing. This lady said we have an obligation, an international obligation.
We don't.
I have an obligation to the Irish people, and you should have too. You should have a sense
our
of nationhood, and you have none. You are for the EU federal state, and you are for that. You are not for the Irish people. You're anti-Irish, and so is she.
Okay.
100%.
Do you want to come back to that? It's
a strong opinion.
I think 100%. What's been demonstrated here today is the lack of engagement, the lack of listening, the lack of debate.
Well, what happened
well,
with Fianna Fáil, and all the plenty of parties are opposition to Fianna Fáil.
About fellas.
They all totally agree we open borders.
You're talking about fellas. Would you not at least give her a chance to have a say without two lads going at her? You seem very concerned about women's well-being. Just let her have her say. Go ahead, Claudia.
Thank you, Greg. I think for our listeners this morning, to hear the conversation or the lack of debate, the lack of listening, if you're going to do that at a national level, it certainly does not bode well. And if you would like to be in a leadership role on this issue, you have to demonstrate that leadership and be very aware of what you're saying and look at the facts. I don't know if you've researched any of the facts. We know for a fact there have been 2,250 operations checking passports. Yes, more needs to be done. 100 people have been prosecuted for arriving without documents. We have done 3,000 5,000 doorstep operations carried out to date on flights for irregular migration. We are currently fining airplanes and airlines who allow people to travel here without a passport.
Okay, you are reiterating the stuff. You reiterate
100 people prosecuted.
Right, okay. A couple of comments coming in along the lines of, without getting into a massive debate again, you know, there's nurses, doctors, people working in hospitality, second, third generation Irish that are listening to this debate, and a number of people are saying this is not what Ireland stands for, that this is not, that the Ireland that you want is not the Ireland that they want.
I want an Ireland for my children, an Ireland that we can prosper as a nation.
What about the nurses, the doctors, the hospitality workers, second, third generation?
Well, for a start, the hospitality worker, our tourism has been destroyed with people coming into a country that are breaking international rules. They shouldn't be here. Our government are putting them in four-star...
They're not breaking international rules, though. I mean, they're quite literally
They're coming in with no ID. They're breaking the law.
You're pushing me into a position
where... They shouldn't be in our hotels.
But if you keep saying the same stuff, it's pushing me into a position where I'm... It looks like I'm coming from an angle. It's not breaking international law, whether you like it or not. It's not.
We need to open them up.
Yeah, but it's not...
They don't have documentation. It's breaking the law. We have an Irish law against that.
As soon as they get into the country and claim asylum, that's purged, Kim. It's just a fact. It's not. It's whether we like it or not is a different matter.
The law.
No, okay.
Well, like O'Gorman advertised in 29 countries. People think it's only 8. 29 countries. He did
earlier.
It in French.
Yeah.
And the French language takes on 29 countries he advertised in.
Yeah, seven
and that
languages.
Lady over there, she Nula. Wouldn't admit it. 22 Arabic countries. So he did. He did the advertisements in Arabic and French. That's 22 and 29.
Yeah,
do
seven,
the math.
Seven languages.
That is a lot of countries he has invited to come here. When our people, and I've spoke to them on the doors, they're hurting. They've got the defective blocks. They have. We have an economic crisis. We've got inflation. All this mismanaged by that lady's party over there over here.
Okay, listen, both of you, all of you, sorry, thank you very much indeed. You are tuned to the third and final debate. This is all ahead of you having your say on Friday as to who to vote for. You're hearing from Claudia Kennedy, Thomas Pringle, Nuala Carr, Noel Jordan, Eamon McGee, Kim McMenamin, and obviously, you've heard some voices more than others. We'll strike a balance as we move through some of the issues. But for now, we'll take a break. We'll be back in just about 4 minutes. Stay where you are. Okay, you're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show this Wednesday morning. We're gearing up to the election on Friday. And just to let you know that from 9 a.m. on Saturday morning, we'll be broadcasting live for as long as it takes from the Aura Leisure Centre in Letterkenny. We have a whole team down there and you'll be able to listen to it on the radio, of course. But as you may have come accustomed to during the council elections, you'll be able to watch our coverage as well. And things should move along relatively quickly there, albeit it could drag on for hours in the end. Right. One of the big issues certainly coming into us and on the door is housing, Thomas Pringle. And I don't think in a Donegal context you can talk about housing without it inevitably straying into the defective concrete blocks issue. So I presume we'll sort of, you know, I'll let people go whichever direction they like, but they're going to be intertwined. But it's not just that. It's affordability of rental property. It's the affordability of, you know, affordable homes for people to buy. And there are many in this county that feel that, as bad as it else is elsewhere, that there are layers or layer upon layer of problems here for us in Donegal. Is that your view? And what do you think can be done about it?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, and I think you're right, Greg. The housing issue can't be talked about in Donegal without talking about defective blocks as well, too. And that is a very pressing issue in the county, because no matter what's done in terms of assisting public housing and stuff like that, there you're still going to have a huge problem with defective blocks in terms of people finding places to live where their houses are being repaired and that as well, too. So that's going to be a huge issue, and it's an issue that's going to be pressing in everybody's mind. In terms of housing on its own, just first of all, if we could deal with that first, and then I'll deal with defective blocks as well. I mean, we've no doubt that we're in crisis. We're in crisis right across the board. I mean, 1 in 7 adults in the county now live with their parents, and that's because of the lack of availability of housing. And you know, and so young people are unable to start their lives. Families are forced to separate, and rural communities are watching their future generation just drift away. Because people, I've spoken to people in the doors who young people are living away. They can't get back. They can't get back to actually find somewhere to live. So we have to have a massive house building program that has to happen. And you know, so
do you see anything in the Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, or Sinn Féin policy documents? There are other parties, of course, with their policies, but those are, it's likely what one or two of those will be in government. Do you see anything in what they are proposing as the solution?
Well, I think well, in terms of government, they're not proposing it. I don't see it as a solution. And, you know, it's very interesting to see as well, too, like the Help to Buy scheme and that as well. As a subsidy for developers, not a subsidy for people who want to provide housing. But if you look, you can't, if you buy a second-hand house, you don't qualify for the scheme. And if you buy a new house, you do qualify for the scheme. That's money going directly to developers and builders. It's not actually going to help young people get going. And that's the problem. I've spoken to many homeowners who, through the Help to Buy scheme, are buying houses, second-hand houses, and they're not getting any support at all. And that's a big problem and right across rural areas, and particularly in rural areas where maybe there's no building taking place, so there's no developers that need a handout that will get it from government policy. So we need to have a public house building programme, and that's what has to happen here. And if you look as well to like the housing list, you can't get on the housing list in Donegal unless you're earning under €31,000 a year. So there's a huge amount of people between 31,000 and 60, 70, 80, 90,000 who can't provide a house for out of their own means because the prices have gone up so much. So we need to open up the list and allow those people on this. Now, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael won't allow that to happen because automatically then, straight away, it shows that their housing policy is a failure. And they won't allow that to happen. And in fact, if it was left up to them, they'd probably reduce the housing list as much as possible to make it look like they're actually
succeeding. I can come back to you on that, right?